We bid you welcome to the house of God tonight in the Saviour's name. We're going to begin and sing our opening hymn, 747. This is a special night because we have a dedication, and this hymn speaks about our desire for our homes. Oh, give us homes built firm upon the Saviour, where Christ is head and counselor and guide. Keep our seats for the opening hymn. Very glad to have Pastor Gordon Thompson with us tonight. He is part of the family here, of course, and we're going to ask him to come and lead us to the throne of grace in prayer. So he'll come up here and pray here at the lectern. Good to see you, brother. You're looking well. Feeling well. Lord bless you.
Let's just come before the Lord in a word of prayer. Our Father, as we come before you in the wonderful and glorious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for that beautiful hymn that we've been singing. And we pray for all the different homes that are represented here tonight. We pray that Christ would be the head of every single home. We pray, Heavenly Father, that if there be anyone here tonight who has heard the gospel, understands the gospel, understands the message of Calvary and about Jesus and forgiveness of sins, but yet they're rejecting that wonderful gift, we pray that tonight, in the wonderful and glorious name of Jesus, some soul would cry out to you for mercy and for forgiveness. That some who's come in tonight who may be spiritually blind may leave spiritually being able to see. So, Father, we ask you, through the power of the Holy Spirit, take this service and use it in a mighty way. We thank you for Ada. We thank you for our family. We thank you for our mum, for our dad, for our two brothers. We thank you that Christ is the head of their home and that they love Christ. And we pray as they come and present Ada before you, Father, we pray that Ada will grow up in an environment where she sees the gospel, not only hears the gospel, but sees it through family, through friends. And Father, we pray at a very early age that she'll come and give her life over to the Lord. We thank you as Mr. Park opens up the scriptures and shares your word. We ask you, Heavenly Father, let it be someone sitting in the church tonight or someone listening in. May they taste and see that the Lord is good. We ask you, Heavenly Father, as the gospel is proclaimed, may some soul come and cry out to you, what must I do to be saved? So we surrender this service to you, Father. We thank you, Heavenly Father, it's a service of thanksgiving, giving thanks for Ada, giving thanks for her life and the wonderful gift that you've given Jessica and Andrew. But we pray, Lord God, that she will know the touch of a hand, the touch of a hand of a Lord upon her life, that, Father, she'll grow up to be a young lady who knows and loves and walks with God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Pastor. Now, tonight is the dedication of Ada, and we always ask the family to choose a hymn. And it's that beautiful children's hymn in her hymn book, 692. I'm sure everyone knows this hymn tonight. Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. And we're going to sing the first two verses, and then we'll have the dedication and sing the other two afterwards.
Thank you.
Good to see you folks. And as we welcome everyone tonight, we want to welcome family members, especially if you're on the Hegarty side or the Buick side and you're visiting here tonight because of the dedication. I want you to feel very much at home with us. I'm going to read two passages of Scripture, rather. 1 Samuel chapter 1 and then in Mark chapter 10, these verses that we read at a dedication. In the first passage, we are brought face to face with a family who brought their little one to the house of God. And I'm getting smiles here, so that's a good sign. And simply just to present their child to the Lord. And that's what's happening here tonight. And then in the second passage that we will read from the New Testament, it's the scene of Christ, and the children are brought to the Lord Jesus. And that word brought, I was reading one of the Greek scholars this week, and it has the idea behind it of dedication. They brought their children to the Lord. They wanted to dedicate their children to the Lord, and that's what was happening, and that's what's happening tonight. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 20. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about, after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, Because I have asked him of the Lord. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord, and there abide forever. And Elkanah, her husband, said unto her, Do what seemeth thee good. Tarry until thou have weaned him. Only the Lord establish his word. So the woman abode, gave her son suck until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. And then in Mark chapter 10, verse 13 to 16, And they brought young children to him, that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased, and saith unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. Amen. We'll ask the congregation to stand, please. Do you, the parents of this child, acknowledge and confess the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior? Mm-hmm. Do you promise, depending upon divine grace, to bring up your little one in the fear and the admonition of God? Mm-hmm. Following the example of Scripture and the invitation of the Lord Jesus Christ, I dedicate thee, Ada Joan Hegarty, to the Lord, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. We're going to see how this goes. How old is she now, Jessica? 12 months.
Five months.
Everybody's here. Now, you as the congregation have a responsibility to pray for this child, to pray for all of the children of the church. But tonight here, this little one is being presented publicly before you as well as the Lord. And we want the congregation to remember little Ada in prayer. And of course, she has the name Joan, which I know that Willie would have been very proud of. And if she shouts, she's near my microphone, so you're going to hear it too. But we're going to pray and ask the Lord's blessing upon this little infant. Lord, it is with a sense of joy that we draw near in prayer just now, in simple, childlike faith, to present to the Lord this little one, little Ada. You brought her forth into the world. You've given her health and strength. You've given her life. We were thinking how life is the gift of God, because in Him we live and move and have our being. You helped Jessica through the time when she carried this little one in her womb and brought her to that day where she gave birth and this child was born. And Lord, we acknowledge tonight that children are God's heritage. The fruit of the womb is His reward. And we want in a very special way to present her to the Lord tonight, to do what the parents did in the New Testament when Christ was here upon the earth, when they brought their children to Christ, that He would bless them, that He would touch them, put His hands of power and deity upon the little ones of His day. And we want the mighty Savior to come by and visit with us tonight and put His hands upon this child and bless her. Lord, You've blessed her in so many ways already, with the health and strength that we've spoken about and with the gift of life. You've blessed her with a godly family. And we thank Thee for those around her, her parents especially, and others within the family circle who know the Lord, who love the Lord, and will have no greater desire than to see her brought up in the right way, being schooled in the things of God, being taught the way of salvation from her earliest days. And Lord, we pray that You will bless her with God's salvation early in life when she comes to that age of understanding. May she trust in the living God and His dear Son, Christ Jesus, who died upon the cross to take away our sins. Bless the families that are here tonight represented. We thank You that they're here present in the house of God for this occasion. And bless the congregation as we would take this little one upon our hearts and pray for her in the coming days, that she will grow up and come to know the Lord and love the Lord. Lord, make this a special night when the presence of the Lord draws graciously near, and we know Your blessing upon this time together for Jesus' sake. Amen. She did very well. Thank you very much. We're going to sing the other two verses. Verse 3 is up there now. Jesus loves me still. And we'll remain standing as we sing the last two verses. Andrew, the Lord bless you. Jessica too. Little Ada. And the other ones, they've gone. Oh, they're here and there. All right, thank you. Bid you welcome again in the Savior's name to God's house tonight. We've had a lovely day, not as hot as last week, but a beautiful day nonetheless. And if you're listening in on the internet, sermon audio, Facebook or YouTube, we bid you a very warm word of welcome also. Now, just a few announcements. We want to remind you of the midweek service on Thursday night at 8 o'clock. And we're having our students for a number of the weeks. They're speaking a couple of times at the midweek. And Johnny Story is due to bring his first message this Thursday. I'll be here, God willing, to lead the service. And we will have a special prayer for the Christian school. And then on Friday night, there's a special drive-in missionary rally taking place at Haffey's Farm down in Donaghcloney. And we've given you the details of that. If you need any other details, please let me know. Refreshments will be served at the end of the rally, and we're endeavouring to keep the whole time to 1 hour. That is the plan, so that it's not too dark when you're coming home. Next Lord's Day, we gather for prayer by Zoom at 8 a.m., and the worship service is 12 noon when we come back to Mark's Gospel. Open air in Kernanny at 3:30, with a good time this afternoon just behind us here in the glebe. And next Lord's Day, we go to Kernanny. It's also the baptism service at 3:30 for Greg and Gideon Gibson, and officiating at that here in the church is the Reverend Ian Brown. The gospel meeting is at 7 o'clock, and the prayer time by Zoom before that at 5:30. Thank you for your tithes and offerings that you brought into the house of God. One other announcement that I want to make with regard to our children's work, and that is the Summer Youth Challenge. We couldn't have this last year, not physically gathering in the building. It was done online, but we're endeavouring Monday week, tomorrow week, the 9th, through to the Friday night, the 13th of August, each night at 7 o'clock, to have the children in for their meetings. And the crafts will not be done on site. They'll be sent home with the children, and they'll be able to do it in their own time and bring them back in again. Will you pray for that? And if you can help, see Andrew, and he'll get you enlisted as part of the team. Now, congratulations. We should have mentioned Sean and Anne. We did on Thursday night, but Sean and Anne have become grandparents, and they're very proud of that, and we rejoice with them. And then Drew and Sally, we were able to mention that this morning. They became grandparents again, and we always rejoice when little ones are brought into the church family, so we give them our hearty congratulations. We're going to sing just before we bring the message, the hymn 689. When mothers of Salem, their children brought to Jesus, the stern disciples drove them back and bade them depart. But Jesus saw them ere they fled and sweetly smiled and kindly said, "Suffer, little children, to come unto me." So what we read earlier and what we will come to in a few minutes' time is here in the hymn where the Lord says, "Suffer, little children, to come unto me." Just a few more verses of scripture to read. First of all, four verses from the book of Deuteronomy. And we're coming back to the passage that we read in Mark chapter 10. And we have words I believe are important and very appropriate for Andrew and Jessica tonight. But for the whole congregation, there's a message here. Hopefully, Jessica will be able to hear out back some of what we're saying tonight. We understand when little children have to be brought out and other little children are brought in, as the case might be. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6 through to 9. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. The New Testament passage, if you turn over to it, is in Mark chapter 10. And we read this to you during the dedication time. And we want to think about these verses particularly tonight. Again, there's just four verses, verse 13 through to 16. I'll not take time to reread them, but they are before us here. And with the Word of God before us, we're going to pray and just ask God's blessing upon our little time in the Word of God tonight. Gracious Father, what a joy it is to be in God's house, to be before the living God, the only God, the God of heaven and earth, the Creator, the Redeemer, the Sustainer of all things. And to be here on this occasion when a little one is just presented very simply to the Lord. We've had that recently and for so many times over the years, and Lord, it never loses its worth and value. And Lord, what we've done tonight, we mean with all of our hearts as we give Ada to Christ, that He might bless her. Bless us in the Word. Help us, Lord, to understand our responsibilities and what the mind of Christ is. Thank Thee for the Old Testament Scripture, the law of God, what God requires in His laws. We read those verses from the book of Deuteronomy. And what a beautiful example we have in the New Testament of the love of Christ for children. So shut us in with Yourself for these minutes. Bless us in the Word of God tonight, for Jesus' sake. Amen. It is particularly the 10th chapter of Mark's Gospel and those few verses, 13 to 16, that we want to meditate upon this evening as we think of Christ and the little children. Now, God places a high importance and value upon children and training them. And we see that not least in the words of Christ here in Mark chapter 10. Solemn and far-reaching are the responsibilities given to us by God to make sure that children are brought up right in the fear and the admonition of God. Fail here, and you and I have failed in one of the most essential commands that your Creator has given. Fail here, and it could have eternal consequences. If our children are not brought up according to God's Word and instructed in the ways of God and the Gospel, it may be that they will go on in their darkness of sin and die without Christ and be lost forever. And that would be a tragedy. Here is the promise of God to His people in Proverbs 22 and verse 6. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That's a memory text. We ought to commit it to mind and heart. Ponder the passage in Deuteronomy chapter 6. It's the law of God, this passage that we read to you. where the commandments of God are to be laid up in your heart, first of all, the parents, the adult population, and then taught diligently to the children. And you will see it here, every conceivable opportunity that you have when you talk with them, when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. And then we think of these other words, by binding them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. That would mean a lot to the Jewish person. It was the habit for the Jews to have what they called phylacteries. And in these little pouches, usually made of leather, they would have put the law of God, little verses of the Bible, little texts from God's commandments. They would have fastened them to their hands. Sometimes they would have worn them on their heads just to keep the word of God always before them. And we are commanded here to do likewise, to keep the word of God always before us and our families, our children. And in verse 9, thou shalt write them upon the posts of thine house and on thy gates. And again, that was a practice where the word of God, a text of scripture, would have been put on the posts of the home, going in and out of the house. Children, therefore, would have seen these verses from the Bible. And we still have the practice putting up texts of scripture in our homes, and perhaps you do that likewise. When speaking of these things, we could not overlook the exhortation of the great Apostle Paul to fathers in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, where he says, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And the exhortation of Christ to Peter after the resurrection, when he spoke to Peter personally, individually, in the Gospel of John chapter 21 and verse 15, is very relevant. Feed my lambs, and the lambs have often been a representation of the little ones. Parents especially exercise a huge influence over their children. And they do so for good or for evil. In the period of the kings, we read about children who either did good or evil in the sight of the Lord. And very often the Holy Spirit of God inserts a little phrase, a short commentary on this, that simply reads, and walked in the way of his father. Those children did good in the sight of the Lord, or they did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they walked in the way of their father. To fully understand the impact of such words, we must look to the future, because it can lead either to the salvation or the damnation of our children. That's how serious it is. Andrew and Jessica, as you present your little one in the house of God tonight before the Lord and before this congregation, great and solemn is your duty before God in the light of eternity, in the light of the judgment day. You are to give Ada every opportunity to be taught and to be trained in the ways of the Lord. Children are gifted to our families, as we prayed earlier from the Psalm 127. They are a heritage of God. God requires us to bring our offspring to a saving faith in Christ, and so protect them, guard them, shelter them, shield them, hedge them about, equip them, teach them, feed them on the things of God. Here's a message tonight for every parent. Indeed, here's a message for the elders of the church, a message for the Sunday school teacher, a message for the youth challenge team. And in the matter of a week, we'll be getting down to the business of teaching the children here in this church. Here is a message for every conscientious, God-fearing Christian. Never forget those Bible terms, these solemn exhortations. Teach them, train them, bring them. Now, the scene of Matthew 10 is a most touching one in the ministry of Christ. We observe the tender compassion of a loving Savior towards the boys and girls of his day as they are brought to him to be blessed. And we see the Lord Jesus taking them up in his arms, putting his mighty hands of power and deity upon them. And Jesus Christ blesses the children of his day. We want to learn from this passage. We want to apply the truths and the lessons to our hearts. We don't want to miss what God the Holy Spirit is teaching us here. And so I'm asking you in the closing minutes of this service to sit up and please listen, not to what I'm saying, but to what this passage of Scripture is saying to your heart. I want you to notice, first of all, in verse 13, that there is the wise decision of the parents or the guardians, whoever these individuals were that brought their children to Christ. And here we're told that they brought young children to him, that he should touch them. These people did the most excellent thing that anyone could ever do for any soul, young or old. They bring them to Christ for his blessing. And there's no greater blessing than that blessing that is spiritual and eternal. Indeed, receiving eternal life. To know your sins forgiven. To know that it is well with your immortal soul. To be right with God, to be bound for heaven, is the highest and the most splendid blessing that any person can ever receive. It may be that some of these children were sick and were brought to Christ, as so many others were brought to be healed. We're not told that, but it may be the case. It may be that some of these children possess fears and anxieties as little children can. And so they were brought to the Lord Jesus. It may be that they were brought for a general blessing to be bestowed, that Christ would bless them with protection, preservation, provision, and his presence. But by far the greatest blessing that Jesus Christ can give to any person is eternal life. And I say to you, dear parents, make sure that you bring your children to Christ for this very thing. There's nothing, and I don't care what you can think about tonight, there's nothing that's more important than this. You move heaven and earth. You do all you can within your power and within the resources that you have to see to it that your children are saved by the grace of God, that they are found in Jesus Christ, that they are robed in his righteousness before the great and the dreadful day of God comes. And see to it that this is done as soon as possible, in the earliest days of a child's life, when that little one is able to discern between his left hand and his right hand, as the Bible speaks about, able to discern between good and evil. Timothy knew the Holy Scriptures from his childhood, which were able to make him wise unto salvation. Make sure that every child you have is blessed with Timothy's knowledge, that they know the Holy Scripture, and especially in the light of bringing them to Christ, that they might have everlasting life. Childhood and youth is the most impressionable time of a person's life. You see, the character and the personality is being formed. Beliefs and opinions are being shaped. And paths, and there's so many paths in life that a young person can take. Those paths are being followed. Children are bombarded with all kinds of teaching, as you know. All kinds of beliefs and opinions and influences and temptations from every imaginable source in the home. Parents, siblings, what they watch on television, what they're viewing on the internet, at school, with teachers and their friends and their textbooks, in the community out there, in the world, advertisements, everything that you see out there in the community is having an influence upon the children. And of course, they are also being influenced by Satan's emissaries. But the devil certainly does not want your child to follow the ways of God. Children are making decisions about what they believe, about what they believe concerning religion, what they believe about sin, what they believe about morality, what they believe about evolution, abortion, relationships, heaven and hell, and eternity. They're making decisions in their youth. How important it is, therefore, to do what we can as parents and as guardians to bring our children to Christ. They brought their children to Him. Maybe you're asking the question tonight, how can I bring my children to Christ? Well, the Lord Jesus is not on earth as He was in Bible times, obviously. We cannot physically bring our children to Christ where He can pick them up in His arms and put His hands upon them and bless them. But there are ways in which we can. We can bring our children to Christ, first of all, through our example, a godly example, a holy example in the home. Children are watching. They're listening to every conversation that we have. And they're weighing up what they see in our lives. And they're forming opinions. Very sadly, some parents are a bad example. A bad example by what they watch on television. A bad example in their language. A bad example in their dishonesty. A bad example in their unkindness to other people. A bad example in their gossip. And the list goes on. And they're never in the Word. And they're never in prayer. And they're rarely at a prayer meeting. And all the children see is a worldly example. Well, that's not leading children to Christ. You can lead your children to Christ by your example. You can lead your children or bring your children to Christ by the family altar. What do I mean by that? Andrew, you know what I mean by that. A time in the home where parents gather their children around God's Word. The Word of God is read. We sang about it tonight. And prayer is offered. And the children there in the home by godly mothers and fathers are instructed at what we call the family altar. We can bring our children to Christ by taking them to church. A lot of people out there, and they're glad to send their children to church, but better still that you take your children, bring them with you. You can bring them to Christ by sending them to Sunday school, to children's meetings. You can bring them to Christ by encouraging them to read the Bible and other good literature. You can bring them to Christ by guiding them into the best company that they can possibly have. You can bring them to Christ by protecting them from the evil influences, which are multiple. The devil has devised thousands of ways to keep our children from God, to corrupt them, to harm them, to draw them away. And we can bring our children to Christ, obviously, by presenting to them the gospel. Tell them of Jesus, the mighty deceiver. I know fathers and mothers, and they push their children in every other way, in education, in sport, in hobbies, in careers, in money-making enterprises, but they do nothing or little for their soul. Parents who have neglected the spiritual and the eternal welfare of their offspring by simply doing nothing. Oh, they'll set them in front of a television. They'll buy them the latest Xbox or PlayStation. I'm nothing against that. My children have them. My grandchildren are too young to have them, but that'll maybe come. And they will build them toys and playgrounds and gadgets, but neglect their souls. What a judgment day it will be. A fearful time when they're called to account. Oh, here's the wise decision of these parents. They brought them to Christ, and you and I must do likewise. My second little point is this. There is the woeful reaction of the disciples. We have it in the same verse. These children are brought to Christ to touch them, and His disciples rebuked those that brought them. If we can use the word despicable, what a despicable response. We must not be like these men. It's quite sad what we read here. These men were not worldly. Just remember that. And they were not, per se, a bad example. No, they were privileged men. They were spiritual. They were active men in God's work. They were in the presence of Christ continually, every day. They never missed worship. They never missed sitting at Jesus' feet. They never missed the seasons of meditation. They never missed a sermon. They never missed a prayer meeting. But they failed in a matter of great importance. And why? Why did they send the children away? Why did they rebuke those that brought the children? Did they think the Lord was tired and weary? Maybe they were. You know, the Lord was always busy and the disciples were always with him. And I'm sure through the day and at the close of a day that they felt the fatigue of labor. And maybe they were feeling tired and they thought, well, Jesus is tired as well. We'll not bother him or allow him to be bothered with children. But Christ was never too tired to minister to needy souls, even little children. There was another time at the beginning of his ministry at Sychar's well when he was tired and weary. You remember the story in John chapter 4. After a journey in the heat of the day, he sat on the well because he was weary of the journey, wanted a drink from the well. But along comes the woman of Samaria, and Jesus had time to speak to her despite his weariness. The disciples ought to have known that. Did they rebuke these parents because they thought somehow Jesus was not interested in children? There are those who foolishly believe the boys and girls are of small importance. They have little room in their hearts for them. Not so Christ. This passage proves that beyond all shadow of a doubt. Jesus had room in his mighty heart for them. He wanted to do them good, and so must we. Did they try to prevent these parents bringing their children to Christ because they thought that Jesus had more important things to attend to? No doubt Christ was busy. Most of the time he did spend ministering to adults. Around him every day, there were thousands of people that flocked to hear him. But those thousands of people were perishing in their sin. And he preached to them. And he called them to repentance. He called them to faith. He desired to save them. But he also knew that the souls of these little ones were of infinite value. They were never too young to learn evil ways. And thus, they're never too young to learn the gospel. We should keep that in mind. It's the bounden duty of every Christian congregation, to make provision for the spiritual training of its children. The woeful reaction of the disciples. And I want you to look at the other verses, verse 14 to 16. We have the wonderful compassion of the Savior. And this is how it ought to be. Verse 14, when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased, and he said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. This passage is full of meaning. You want to be instructed by Christ here. Christ was displeased. You want to mark that. This is the only time the actual word displeased was used by Christ when referring to his disciples. Now we know that there were other times when he was displeased or disappointed, whatever the word might be, at their lack of faith, and he rebuked them. Oh, ye have little faith, or why is it that ye have no faith? We read that kind of language in the Bible. We know that he rebuked Peter when he failed to discern the cross, the very purpose why the Lord Jesus had come. He had come to suffer. He had come to be rejected. He had come to die. In fact, we read about it two chapters earlier in Mark chapter 8. In fact, it was on that very occasion when he declared the purpose of God in his death that Peter rebuked the Lord. Imagine rebuking the Lord. Peter did that. Back in Mark chapter 8 and verse 33, when the Lord had spoken there in verse 31 about being rejected and being killed and rising again, we're told in verse 33 that when he turned about and he looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men." Why did he do that? Because in the previous verse, Peter took him and began to rebuke him. James and John were also rebuked in Luke chapter 9 for a different reason. But here, in Mark chapter 10, the whole body of the disciples were rebuked by the Savior for their lack of love and concern for children. Jesus was displeased. In fact, if you could see the original and understand what the original word is here in the Greek, it actually means that he was much displeased. In fact, the word is put in there. He was much displeased. It annoyed him greatly. You don't want the displeasure of Christ. You don't want his frown to be upon you, having a bad attitude towards children's work. When we count this ministry unimportant, when we view it not worthwhile, when we feel it beneath our dignity, we displease the Lord. Look at the wording of Christ's rebuke at the end of verse 14. "Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God." And then Christ gives a very powerful challenge and application here in verse 15. "Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein." You see, children enter the kingdom of God with a simple childlike faith, not a childish faith, but a childlike faith when they come to Christ, with a faith that trusts God just like a child trusts his father. And that's the way everyone must come. Even if you're an adult tonight and you're not a Christian, you're not saved, you must come to the Lord with a childlike faith and enter the kingdom of God as a little child with that childlike faith. Little child that just believes its father or grandfather. Cassia was standing on the stairs today. She didn't go too high. Maybe she looked at me and she thought I wasn't just as strong as her father, whatever the case might be. But she went at least three steps up and she jumped, knowing that I would catch her. It was a simple act of faith. And when you come to trust in Christ as Savior, you come in that simple childlike way. Do not complicate your salvation and coming to Christ. It's not Christ plus what you do. You can never do enough. You can never merit anything. You can never earn one second of heaven. Oh, those poor, misguided souls that add to God's salvation, who say, "I'm not good enough, I've not done enough, Christ couldn't save me, I'm too big a sinner." We receive heaven, we receive the kingdom of God in a simple, uncomplicated, sincere, childlike faith. And then just as we draw to a conclusion, I want you to look there again at the passage, verse 16, observe what Jesus did. He took these little ones up in his arms. He put his hands upon them, and he blessed them. Are these not some of the sweetest words in all the Bible? Is this not a most touching scene of deep instruction? Learn from it. Christ desires to take up the children and put his hands of deity and power upon them and bless them. That's what he did here. And that's what he still desires to do. We can't see it here in our English translation, but I want you to know that the Greek word here is emphatic. It literally means fervently bless. Jesus Christ wants to fervently bless the children. Oh, may he do this for Ada. We trust that he will in the coming days. May he do it for our children and our grandchildren. May he do it in the Sunday school for the boys and girls who come here. May he do it at Youth Challenge, as we think of a few days' time when Youth Challenge will come here to the church and then back, God willing, in the autumn time as well. May he do it in the day school. May he do it in our town for the children that live here. Brethren and sisters, we need to redouble our efforts in bringing our children to Christ. We want to be like the Savior in this, not like the disciples. I trust that what Jesus did is more characteristic of what we seek to do in our day. May the Lord help us and learn from this passage of Scripture and help us to bring our children to Christ. Let us pray. Our Father, we know that these things are of eternal importance. What an awesome and solemn responsibility it is to train up our children, to teach them, to bring them, just as we read in your word. Help us, Lord, to use every conceivable opportunity to do that. Help us, Lord, to bring them to the house of God. Help us to send them to those places where they will learn. Help us to have our family altars, our places of instruction. Help us to do what we can under God to bring them to Christ, that he might bless them, and bless them with the greatest blessing, that of eternal life. Pray for little Ada, that she'll be brought to Christ early in her life. Pray for all of her families that are here tonight, that you will save every child of ours, every grandchild, every brother, every sister, every wife and husband, mother, father, whatever the case might be. There are those tonight in this meeting and they don't know the Lord, and they need to be brought to Christ. May they come to him, and may they come and receive the Lord Jesus and his kingdom in that simple childlike faith of which Jesus speaks about here, because we ask in his name. Amen. We close tonight with the hymn 701. It gives the exhortation to come to the Savior, and I trust if you haven't done that, you will. Come to the Savior, make no delay. Here in his word, he has shown us the way. Here in our midst, he's standing today. If you could but hear it, Jesus Christ has something to say to you tonight. And he says it tenderly. And what is it? He says, come. When you come, even as we sing this closing hymn, thank you. Stand to sing.
Thank you.
All I am tonight is a signpost. I just point the way. Jesus Christ is the Savior, and that's who you need. If you do not know him, may you come to know him. And if we can help you, we're here to speak with you, as many Christians are here tonight. But don't delay. He's tenderly saying, come. Will you come? Lord, dismiss us now in your fear and with your love resting upon us. Thank you for the meeting tonight, for your presence, for your help. Pray that you'll bless the families that are here represented. Bless we Ada, growing up in the world. Keep your loving and tender hand upon her for good and all of her children, for Jesus' sake. Amen. You may be seated, and you'll be asked to leave row by row as usual. Thank you for coming, and the Lord bless you.